you know, when you're preparing a meal for everybody, I can prepare a meal, you know, for myself, and it's probably going to have something to do with some steak or some venison or something like that, or a sandwich. You know, us men, we can just go in the cupboard and put some things together. But when you're preparing for everybody and there's others eating, then, you know, it's a different kind of feeding. And so, you know, I just minister to myself when I'm up here, and I'm grateful for that opportunity. You know, this morning I was thinking in Psalms 124, I love this passage. And, you know, like I was saying during the prayer, you know, Jesus is reason enough for our praise. And I love in the Bible, I love King David. I absolutely love King David. He wrote a good majority of the Psalms. And so I look at King David and I ask myself, here's a man that was a shepherd boy, but then he got promoted to hold two offices. He was king and he was also prophet. He stood in two offices in the Old Testament. This was before the infilling of the Holy Ghost and different things like that. So the Holy Spirit wasn't alive on the inside of him. He wasn't born again. So David stood in that office of a king, so he had, you know, a good supply of resources at his disposal. He was probably educated well beyond the average education of a commoner at that time. Here is David that, you know, slew Goliath. He was the one that Saul had slain his thousands, but David had slain his tens of thousands. This was a man of war, a man of prestige, a man that was good to look at. What the Bible said when he was young, he was a comely person, he was fair. So David, I need to question you, what is it that gives you your status? What is it that gives you, now you're in a kingly position, what do you have to say about when you were to face a trial or a tribulation? It has to be your knowledge. It has to be your education. It has to be your upbringing that would put you over, David, because you're now in a king and you got a lot of resources at your disposal. And then I read over here in Psalms 124, and it says, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. David, you are a king and a prophet. You are recognized. And David says, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, we would have been killed quick by our enemies. There's only one thing that merits me standing right here right now. It's because the Lord is on my side. I would have been gone as a kid, David said. I would have been gone when the lion and the bear came. But because the Lord is on my side, because as a newborn again believer, because the Lord is on the inside of me, I have now moved into the realm of more than a conqueror. Meaning there's no disease, there's no sickness, there's no COVID, there's no depression, there's no oppression, there's no addiction that can overcome the greater one that's on the inside. It's not about wealth, because if it was about wealth, David would have never proclaimed, had it not been for the Lord. In other words, I'm a sitting duck without him. And I recognize in my knowledge and wisdom that I've attained as a king, I've recognized one thing, the Lord is on my side. In other words, I don't have to know all the stars in the sky and what they mean. I don't have to have an education, a doctorate. I don't have to have a master's. I need to know one thing, that the Lord is on my side. That's it. Because if I got the one who's backing me, the greater on the inside, then all of a sudden I'm going to be a reckoning force here on the earth. It's not about this what this year has proclaimed to you. It's not about the shell in the cave that it's tried to put you in to keep you oppressed through the course of your day-to-day living. It's simply a position of recognizing the greater one on the inside of you, that when you're in that quiet time, when you're by yourself, when it seems like your world is crashing down, know one thing and one thing only, the greater one's on the inside of you. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. Glory to God. So those are, I don't know about you, but, you know, there's times, and I hope you do that at home, when you take scripture like this and meditate on it. You have to preach to yourself. Why? Because the world's constantly trying to preach to you COVID-19. It's trying to preach to you depression. It's trying to preach to you sickness and disease. It's trying to preach to you isolation and closure. It's trying to preach to you that you're never going to amount to anything in life. It's going to try to preach to you that you should be further along in your life than what you are right now. It's going to preach to you that this Christian walk is thankless. So you need to say, no, Mr. Devil, the greater one is on the inside of me. And because he is, you watch me walk out my victory in him. What's your option? What are you going to do? You know, you could choose to live defeated, or you can actually take God at his word for who he says he is and say, Father, because you said it, I'm willing and able to take this land. You remember Joshua and Caleb. He gave them the land flowing of milk and honey. You gave him, you know, those big old grapes that they carried, you know, the two of them it took to carry those cluster of grapes from the promised land. Joshua and Caleb said, we're well able to take this land. I'm well able. Why? Because he said it. He said that he's given us this land. Are you going to take back your word, God? No, you said it. Therefore, I am well able. And if you've given me the victory by the promise of your word, I'm well able. Defeat is not an option for me. Amen. You need to make up your mind. Glory to God. And we're going to talk about some things today that I believe are going to be of good help. Turn with me, if you will, over to Romans chapter 8. We're going to be talking a little bit about family today and in the family of God. Amen. And I always look forward to this. And I was telling Aaron when I found out that Pastor, you know, had asked me to minister. And I told Aaron, I said, hey, Aaron, I said, I'm going to be up on stage. For those of you who don't know Aaron, he's my 4-year-old son. He's sitting in the back right now, which normally right after worship, they bail and they're in the nursery tearing it up. But he's back there now, so praise the Lord. But I told him, I said, yeah, Pastor Tim, you know, had asked me to minister today. I said, so Dave's going to be up on stage speaking. He looks at me, he says, well, would you know the words? See, he was just in a little preschool play, so, you know, they had to learn some songs and sing some songs. And I'm like, well, bless God, let's believe God that Daddy's going to know the words today, because they're life to those who find it and health to all their flesh. So, amen. So, praise the Lord. So, I trust that you're going to help me today. Amen. And this, I trust, will be a blessing to you. And there's some things here that are near and dear, and you all know me. You know, you got to help me, because we're going to be talking about family, and that's one thing that's dear in my heart. And so, praise the Lord. But I want to start over there in Romans chapter 8, because there's some things that we want to pick out of this. And, you know, the beginning of the chapter, it talks about, you know, the waging war between sin and the Spirit. You know, they're antagonistic one to another. They're contrary. They're butting each other. And, you know, the Spirit always leads us in line with the heart of God and also that of sonship, which we're going to be looking at here. But I want to jump down to verse 13, because this is very interesting. And I want to kind of, you know, break this down a little bit here for us. And then it says in verse 13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So we understand those things, that we need to be in a position of constantly mortifying the deeds of the flesh. You know, those aren't of the born-again spirit that's on the inside of us. So we, our biggest enemy is not the devil. Our biggest enemy is who you look at in the mirror every day. Yes, you are your own worst enemy. Amen. It's the fleshly thing that you got to deal with. Amen. Of course, the devil's right there to encourage, you know, with the bad thinking and the bad thoughts and stuff like that. But I love in verse 14, he says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, I want to stop right there for a moment, because he says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, They are the sons of God. Now, in context, we're talking about being spirit-led, and there is a place of maturity that one arrives to in sonship as you are led of the Spirit of God. Now, that is in many different forms. I mean, I'm talking, you know, most prominently the inward witness, the inward voice is how the Lord leads us, you know, beyond the written word. Obviously, we got to be a doer of the Word of God. But he talks about being spirit-led as a sign of maturity. But I like how it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And so the Spirit also not only creates sonship through the leading, but it creates in you a hunger for the position of sonship with your Heavenly Father. And see, just even thinking about this, for you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. There is something about the spirit of adoption that we all have to recognize. See, we live in a day, in time, in an era, and there's many people that are sitting here today that come from many different family structures and family units. And there is no shame or blame from whatever side of the family structure that you came from. I came from two loving parents, my sister and I. My sister's here in family. And my mom and my dad were loving parents to us, brought us up in a Christian household. You know, obviously, we're all here today still in that tight knit. But that's not necessarily the case with everybody. Through natural birth, there's many broken, illegitimate families where, per se, the father or mother hasn't adequately filled their position. There's many that may be here today that maybe didn't have a mother or father growing up. Maybe there was some tragedy. Maybe there was a lack of responsibility that was recognized by either parental figure. Maybe there was a divorce, you know, whatever the case may be. And if you've gone through divorce or experienced those things, hey, no shame or blame, because we're going to see we're of a different family. But I know that there's, you know, fathers that ought not be fathers. I know that there's kids today that are being raised by fathers and parents that abuse them physically, verbally, emotionally. I know there's kids that go to school and they don't want to go home at the end of the day. They'd rather stay there for a prolonged time because it's punishment to go back to the ones that neglect and reject them. There's many, you know, I remember hearing a testimony of this. She was actually a Christian girl, got born again and saved, but she would be with her dad maybe through the summer if she wasn't in school. He'd leave her and maybe her sister or other siblings all day. He would leave them at home, no food, and then he would come back later in the evening or at night, and he would bring like a bag of Taco Bell. They hadn't eaten all day. I mean, tapping the condiments, the ketchup and the whatever, peanut butter, whatever might be in the cupboard. So there's something that can be said about those that are naturally born. It can be deemed that a kid could be a mistake. It could be deemed that a kid was unexpected and now I don't want to have to do anything with the responsibility of this newborn. There's many people that through selfishness try to justify their means of dismissing what was created through natural birth and natural life. But then you have the spirit of adoption. Now, I know there's families in here that have adopted children. I know that there's families, more than one family, that they've taken children that did not belong to them and had adopted them. Because the spirit of adoption is different. The spirit of adoption is the one that goes before the judge and before the children, and they say, I've counted the cost. I'll pay that price. There's a difference because they voluntarily grabbed through acceptance these children and said, I'll pay the price on their behalf. I will give them my name, and I will give them my security through my family. This is the spirit of adoption. We've been rejected in some capacity living naturally in this earth until the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, or Father, Father, or Daddy, Father. Because Jesus stood up to those that were lost and says, I will pay the price on your behalf. Jesus, you come here. Jesus was the only natural but the only natural price that was paid that he loved the correct way, God being love. So when the spirit of adoption stepped up, he took what he loved as being love and gave them for you and me. And it says that we may cry, Daddy, Father, or Abba, Father. See, yes, we were created to have dominion and authority on this earth. We were created, you know, the law of new beginnings in Genesis, that he gave man to have dominion. We were created in God's likeness and God's image. But also through Jesus Christ and through the spirit of adoption, there needs to be a place in the heart of man that recognizes Daddy, Father. I always, and I had maybe even ministered along these lines before, and I used this phrase because Pastor Michael, I remember, and also Pastor Tim talking about the family structure, that rules without relationship equals rebellion. You know, if I was just rules-oriented with my kids, and sometimes it seems like rules-oriented, stop doing that, stop doing this, quit smacking your sister, quit throwing this. I mean, you get it. I mean, we deal with all that. So sometimes you got to be a little bit harder on them. But there's also the times where we just snuggle. We just grab each other and you know, there's that bonding and that intimacy that we have. And those are most important to us. You know, spending that time with our kids, you know, and fathers, mothers, make sure you spend that quality time with your kids because that is the imprint that you want to leave on them. And there has to be that position of Abba, Father, or Daddy, Father, that they know me not by rules. How much more our Heavenly Father, that we should not know our Heavenly Father by don't do this, do that. Well, you should be going to church. Well, you shouldn't be doing this. Well, don't swear, don't drink, don't cuss, don't. And right, absolutely. But it can't replace your relationship with Daddy, Father. You need to come to a intimate relationship and level with our Heavenly Father that, hey, come hell or high water, he's got my back. It's not about where I go or where I come from. He's got my back. I know my dad, therefore my trust has been developed in him. Let's jump down there to verse 28. And it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. In context, we're actually talking, you know, about the spirit of prayer or praying in the spirit and different things like that. But the Spirit always brings us back into that daddy relationship with our Heavenly Father. Verse 29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's all of us. Jesus was our example as the firstborn among many brethren. So yes, we are in a position here of authority because of our family unit that we have with the Heavenly Father. But he's the firstborn among many brethren. Brethren is anyone that's called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's us here today. So we need to understand the family structure that he has for us here as Christians. In verse 30 says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Them he called, those he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? There's your justification by knowing your Heavenly Father. It's not about the works and everything that he gave to you by way of the inheritance. It's by knowing your heavenly Father that you know that he's good for what he's given to you. Because, hey, there's people in here right now that my trust hasn't been developed in you because I don't know you. There's a difference between trust and love. Yes, I love you, don't trust you. And it's not personal, but trust is something that takes time. And if I'm a stranger calling up, oh, I'm a good, trustable person, let me see your kid. Because why? You don't know me. Well, let me tell you everything that I'm going to give to you. I'm going to give you this, 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 and this. That's good, but I don't trust you. Why? I don't know you. And it's the same thing that God is for us, who shall be against us? But you have to encompass around that with the Spirit that brings you to a revelation of Daddy Father. The Bible is full of promises towards you, but if you're not confident in the one who spoke those promises, they do you no good. Be like a bank account on your behalf with $1 million in it. If you don't know how to access it, it does no good that you have it. And it has to become about him and not the things. And that's why I'm so passionate that Jesus alone, if I never got one more thing here on earth, Jesus alone is worthy of my praise. It can't be about, well, when this promise shows up or when this manifests. Well, I've been believing God for 5 years for this and it hasn't showed up yet. Father, you're my Father. Let's leave it there. As I press into you, your goodness comes upon me because I'm pressing into you. That alone is worthy of my praise and my glory. Turn with me over there to Galatians chapter 4. I want to show another passage here. In Galatians, the 4th chapter, verses 6 and 7. Can we bring that up in the Amplified in verse 6? Because you really are his sons, God has sent the Holy Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. See, there's another verse that's saying, he sent the Holy Ghost into you so you would recognize Abba, Father. He put the Spirit of God on the inside of you that you would rightfully take your position as a son or a daughter in God. First and foremost, he's stating that here, before any promise, before any this, before any that, take your place as your child because everything else will fall into place according to your relationship with him. Verse 7 says, wherefore thou art no more a servant, or in the Amplified, therefore you are no longer a slave, bondservant, but a son. And if a son, then if it follows that you are an heir by the aid of God through Christ. That's why he sent Jesus, that you would be joint heirs with him and that you would receive that inheritance. But the Holy Ghost on the inside of you is quickening to know your heavenly Father. You know, the beginning of 2020, and hey, this has been, you know, praise God. It was good to see 2020. Good to see you go, 2020. You know, we're kind of all in this boat. But I'll tell you what, we wanted to have and increase our fellowship with the Lord. Remember the beginning of the year, we wanted to increase our relationship and increase our fellowship with the Lord and go into a deeper fellowship with him. We're going to end that way too. We got some things that, you know, I know myself personally. You know, sometimes this year things get left undone. You know, maybe we haven't hung the moon spiritually, but let's move forward. Let's move forward in our relationship with knowing the Father. Because we sit there so oftentimes and come before him with a list. Well, I need this, I need that. Well, I got this bill that's due and I have that. Yeah, but you need to spend time with your dad. Don't know him by what manifests. Know him by the love as your father. See, that can be foreign for those people that didn't have fathers, that didn't have mothers or family. You never knew that bond and that love. And I know that I can go to my father. My mom's not here, but I know I can go to him with anything, and he would be there. Why? Because he is Abba Father to me. He's daddy that through the thick of things, I could turn around, and he would be right there with me. There's a relationship and a bond that we have that's developed on trust with my Father. How much more our Heavenly Father, the one that proved his love to you by giving you Jesus Christ, the best that he ever had. That's serious in the commitment department on your behalf. So he gave Jesus on your behalf that he could spend that one-on-one. I know you need this. I realize you need these things. Let's just spend some time together. Can you give me more than 5 minutes a day? Can you give me more than 15 minutes a day? Same thing with my wife. If I gave her a minute of time a day, you know, there wouldn't be a very good intimacy there. There wouldn't be a trust that would be developed because she would be a foreigner. I would know her job description. I would know her position as mother, as wife, and different things like that. And I realize even her moral code of ethics, if you will, how she would conduct her life. But I wouldn't know her. I wouldn't be able to laugh with her and enjoy her and live in fullness. There'd be things that I would be separated from in my relationship with my wife. Same thing, our Heavenly Father. You can't know him by what comes through the promise necessarily. Those things are included in the love that he has for you. First and foremost is our relationship with him. You don't have to turn with me there. Can you bring up for me on the overhead 1 John 3:1? 1 John 3:1. Go ahead and jot this down. I'm just trying to nail this home. 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. This is an act of love, that he would call you a son. Love and love alone. In other words, love is what motivated this. I need sons and daughters before I need them rule abiders, quote unquote. We live right because we've been made the righteousness of God, and we live according to what he's made us. But first and foremost, we need to take what the Spirit has been deposited in us to stand in our rightful position as sons and daughters. First and foremost, why? Because everything else hinges on our relationship with him. You know, and that's the whole thing. I mean, there's sayings and stuff, you know, we seek your face and not your hand. Absolutely right, because there needs to be that secret place between you and the Heavenly Father that, hey, my whole world can crash around me. I got you. I don't care. And we've been there. We've all been there. I'm going to get into some of my testimony today. Another verse, John 1:12, if you could bring that up. I appreciate you being good to jump through all these verses. John 1:12. But as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So if you've been born again, if you've accepted, he's given you the power to become the sons of God through the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. Okay, so Ephesians, everybody turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Because you have to understand, as your Heavenly Father and your relationship, that there are responsibilities that he has. There are parental responsibilities. We have two children, and so when we had our children, there's natural responsibilities that we signed up for in having children. There's things that are understood with our children. And if I neglect those responsibilities, there's trouble to pay. And there are people that have neglected their parental responsibilities, and they have legal action taken against them because they have not adequately appropriated their responsibility, if that's even said right. Sometimes I say stuff here and I'm trying to sound intelligent, but I'm really not. So I think I'm like, did I really say that? So anyhow, in Ephesians 1, verse 3, let's bring this up in the Amplified if we could. And I want you to see something. It says, may blessing, praise, laudation, and eulogy be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual given by the Holy Spirit blessing in the heavenly realm. So he's blessed you already, blessed, past tense, blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. These things are understood as God our Father. This is God our Father stepping up and saying, yeah, provision's already made on your behalf because I'm expecting to be a father. Verse 4 says, even as in his love he chose us, actually picked us out for himself as his own in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be wholly consecrated, set apart for him, and blameless in his sight, even above reproach, before him in love. For he foreordained us destined us, planned in love for us, to be adopted, revealed as his own children through Jesus Christ in accordance with the purpose of his will, because it pleased him and was his kind intent. So from before the foundations of the earth, the Lord says, I'm going to adopt you. I'm going to stand in the position of the Father. And that's why he's blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. So based on his love and the adoption of the Spirit inside of us that recognizes those things, God says, I got everything under my control that you're ever going to need here on earth. It's not correct for me to leave you living as you were fatherless here on earth. If you've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I've become your Father. Therefore, all of heaven is at your disposal. Otherwise, it wouldn't be right for me just to, well, yeah, go ahead. You guys just go on earth and just try to make it. Well, Father, that's disrespectful to us. That would be a negligent father. Because if you see that I have a need and you don't provide for it, you're going to jail. I'm a babe here. You know, if I don't feed or clothe my children, I'm paying a penalty for that. I understand that that's my responsibility. How much more the Heavenly Father? Well, why don't I have these things? It's not a fact that he hasn't given them. Whether you haven't renewed your mind to the fact that that provision is made on your behalf, that's up to you. That's as we grow in the things of God. And I'm not saying that, well, I haven't arrived here, that don't take that as defeat. Don't take that as you know, condemnation on your part. But through Jesus, everything was given to you. That's why it says that he's blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And before the foundation of the earth, he made provisions for your adoption. He already had the supply. You're not waiting on the supply. The supply is waiting on you. So you need to renew your mind through the intimacy of the Father. Yes, this is mine, simply because you love me. Simply because you're the best father that there ever is. What is it? Matthew 7:11. You being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more your heavenly Father will give good things unto those that ask him. That's a good father. And he says, as much as I love my children, that's an evil kind of love. So your heavenly Father well knows the provision that you need. Turn with me over there to Matthew chapter 6. Come on. We're gonna get into Matthew. You know this. You could preach this to me here right now. We're going into Matthew 6. You're familiar with this. Yes. Matthew 6 and verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon or God and money. Money's nothing but a poor lord. Why? It tries to gain lordship over you. You could say it tries to take that parental position in your life. God, the devil isn't God's biggest enemy sometimes. I think that mammon or money can be. Why? Because it wants to form the role of provision towards you. But when you have the greater one, when you have the knowledge and the intimacy of the love, money is a servant to me. Why? Because of his goodness. The provision is no merit because it was already provided from before the foundations of the earth. I can't praise the provision when it comes because it was already settled. Oh my God, I'm so grateful. And I'm not saying you don't praise God, but you praise God. You praise God because of what he did as your father years before you even showed up. Not like, oh my goodness, this money is just meeting every purpose, and it tries to gain that lordship in people's lives, especially when there's a pandemic, especially when there's job loss, especially when the unemployment rate has skyrocketed over the course. There's no more time now where money is trying to get a leverage. You want to see everybody go crazy? Just turn on that whole stimulus thing. Well, we should have more. Well, we should be this and we should do that. People come up when it talks about money in their pocket. Oh man, all of a sudden I got something to say. Why? Because, well, I know what I could do with that money, and I know the times have been tough, and now I got this. No, your heavenly Father is not in competition with that supply that is coming, whatever it is. And it doesn't change the fact that, hey, whatever dollar amount, the unlimited supply through Jesus Christ is exactly that, unlimited. So that doesn't change. Your dollar amount and what you may or may not receive from the so-called government right now and all its magnificence, that doesn't merit what was already established and settled through Jesus Christ. So I don't praise and jump for joy at provision that comes from Him. It's expected as my Father. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you will eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? So now he's talking specifically as his parental responsibilities, food and clothing. If I don't feed and clothe my kids, I'm to blame. I'm the problem here. He says, take no thought for your life, what you'll eat or what you, well, I got to eat or I'm going to die. I got to be clothed. Praise God. Is there anyone not clothed here today? Three in the back, one over on the side. Okay, well, we'll get you some clothes here before you leave. I wasn't looking at anyone. Some people are like, I got clothes on. I'm joking. But the people out in the parking lot, they can't see in here, so I got to keep them going. Yeah, can I get a horn beep out there? Maybe. Yeah, praise the Lord. But there's responsibilities as a loving father. This is the one that calls my natural love evil that are understood on your behalf, food and clothing. He says, take no thought for your life. Why do you say that? Well, let's jump on down to verse 31 because this whole passage he talks about food and clothing. He says, therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? He says in verse 32, for after all these things did the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. That separates it right now. He knows. It says your heavenly Father knows. Your Abba, Daddy, Father knows. The Spirit on the inside of you ministers to you that He knows. The Spirit that brings you into close fellowship with the Heavenly Father trusts that I'm going to be provided for and taken care of. I'm not saying that this world and the natural things that we walk through and go through are easy all the time, because they're not. But I trust in the fact that, Father, you're my Heavenly Father. I know that you know that I need food and clothes. And because you love me and call my love evil, I know this will be provided. I'm going to tell a little bit of my testimony. A lot of you don't know this. And we'll see how far we get because, you know, time's getting away for us. But back when we had Mia, our youngest, she's two. She'll be three in April. But anyway, we went through a season where it was hell on earth for us. It was like a Job season. And not to say that we're completely out of this season. But back, we had her in 2018. Back in 2017, I believe it was 2017, 2018, I lost my job. We were layoffs, and it was no fault of my employer, but the industry that I'm in. See, I work in the gas and oil field through the week, and that economy or that market has been frustrated for a number of years and has plummeted, but I lost my job. So here I was on unemployment until that ran out. In the meantime, we had our daughter in April, and Stephanie, when there's a 6-month period after childbirth, and women know this, I'm speaking up here as a man, not educated in these things sometimes, but there's a 6-month period where after childbirth that a woman's body readjusts and gets back to normal and different things. Well, her body got out of skewed. And she got diagnosed with some things. First, they didn't know what it was. And so she was bedridden for a good while, probably 3 weeks to a month after our daughter was born. And she had compound things that she was diagnosed with, but she was locked up. Her joints, it was an autoimmune condition, and her joints would lock up. So she couldn't care for Mia. I mean, it would be, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning, and she was staying in our bedroom with the baby, and I was in the other bedroom. She would call me on the phone at 4 a.m, and I'd have to go over there and change and feed the baby because she couldn't even latch a diaper because her joints were locked up. And she was in such pain that she'd have to crawl from the bedroom to the bathroom on her hands and knees and then come back. And she eventually ended up in Buff Gen for a week while they were trying to figure out what the deal is, pumping her full of steroids and different things like that until things subsided. Then they determined through the grace of God what that condition was. So here we're in a position where, you know, I'm not working, don't have, you know, adequate resources and stuff like that, and having to go to the drive out to Buffalo, take care of the baby. And Mia was an angel because I'd put her down at 9 o'clock and she would sleep till 4 a.m. and wouldn't get up through the night. So glory to God, that's him looking out for us. So in the meantime, we went through all that, got straightened out. I was trying to put my hands to some things, trying to get a job. And I'll tell you what, if you're unemployed or been through that unemployment and you try to go online to get a job, dear Lord, I'll tell you what, trying to go on Indeed, the days of going in with a smiling face and your resume are over, it seems. Like, unless you know somebody. Like, seriously, I did have an interview with some people and stuff like that. But, you know, I had even talked to people, and they're like, no, don't come in. You'll get as far as the secretary in the office. That's as far as you get. Because I'm like, hey, can I speak to someone in HR? I'd love to shake their hand, give them my resume, you know, put on, you know, something nice that I could try to make it. Nope. I mean, applying for jobs up here, but you're applying in corporate down in Philly or something to see if I'm qualified for a job up here. You know, there's a lot of red tape, this, that, and the other thing. So I'm trying to look for a job. Well, it came down to the point, and, you know, many of you don't know this, and I trust that, you know, we come up here and, you know, in church, and we see you guys, and many of you probably didn't even know, and many of you have been a blessing, you know, to us. But anyway, you know, we got down to the point where we were broke. I mean, we're never poor as a child of God, but we were so broke that, you know, we go to the playground and the birds would throw the bread to us, kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we'd walk up here. I was walking up one time, you know, with just one shoe on, and the ushers, they were like, man, did you lose a shoe? And I said, no, I found a shoe. I'm like, dear Lord, it was never that bad, but I just say that, you know. But it came down to the point where I didn't have a job. I was seeking a job, looking for a job. And it came down to the point where the unemployment ran out. So I signed up for assistance. And it's like, well, what'd you do when you were going through that? You know, didn't you see that as a sign of defeat? I don't care. I'm like, I got two kids and a wife at home that need to eat. You know, there was the woman that had a daughter that was grievously vexed with the spirit. And she went up to Jesus. And you remember that passage. She was like, my daughter's at home. You got to come lay hands. He's like, I'm not sent but to the children of Israel. You're a dog, basically. And she says, even, you know, the dogs eat from the crumbs from the master's table. And he said, woman, your faith has made you whole or saved your daughter. Pride's out the window. It's like, we got to eat. So what'd you do during that time? I'll tell you, when we were going through that time, you know what I did? I came to church, and every Sunday I got up and did tithes and offerings. With no money, no nothing, I got up and I ministered the word. Why? Because my circumstance that I'm going through changes the word of God and his goodness? No. I get up and I minister the word because that's the only thing that I got. So, you know, do you view that as defeat? No, but I'll tell you what I did. I went before the Lord that week. I signed up for benefits on Monday. I went before the Lord. I said 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, all grace and earthly favor abounds towards me. In all things I'll be self-sufficient, requiring no aid. I can give to every good work. Father, this is what your word says. You're my heavenly Father, and I praise you for what your word says. So that was on Monday. By Wednesday, I had two jobs. You mean a bag of gold didn't come down from heaven and smack your driveway? I'm still looking for it. I'm still looking for it. But I'm telling you, the jobs came in the provision. Why? Because the goodness of my heavenly Father. It wasn't his fault. The supply was already there. It was me acknowledging the supply and saying, Father, because of your goodness, the supply comes to me. That's the intimate relationship that we have to have with the Father. Father, your goodness and your love to me is bigger in me than what I'm dealing with and what I'm going through. And I'm not saying, you know, like I'm the associate pastor. I mean, you know, I work in the gas and oil field. I sell cars on the weekends. You know, this is a season that's been going on. I'm the associate pastor here, but my responsibilities are little. I don't collect anything from the church as a salary or anything like that. So rubber was meeting the road where it's like, it's this or nothing. Either God, you're exactly who you say you are as our Heavenly Father, or you're not. And there has to be that time where you go before the Lord and you know Him in that way. And I can't emphasize that enough. I'm not where I want to be as far as my intimacy with our Heavenly Father. I'm not there. I'm pushing to get to there. I'm trying to quiet those voices around me, especially in this media-driven day and age with the Facebook and with the Twitter and with everything that tries. They got new ones out now. They got Parler and some other YouTube one that just came out or something that's like that. And so they're just trying to overwhelm and stimulate the senses so it deadens the child from knowing their Father. And that can't be. That can't be as Christians that we're engrafted in this family and it works in that direction. And so we have to give ourselves to knowing our Heavenly Father. Turn with me real quick to Psalm 91. Because this has to be our testimony, and I love the heart here. And if you can bring up Psalm 91 in the Amplified, we're going to end here. Psalm 91 in the Amplified, starting with the very first verse, and it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On Him I lean and rely, and in Him I confidently trust." There has to be the secret place where it's one-on-one time with Dad. There has to be, even naturally, there has to be the one-on-one time with parents and their children to be a bonding and an intimacy established. If I never see my kids, how can I make an impression on them other than I'm not there? And therefore, like it says in verse 2, confidently trust. Because trust, like I said, is something that's developed. There has to be a trustworthiness established through your intimacy with the Heavenly Father. I know I can go there because my Father and I trust Him. I trust Him to do what He says He's going to do. Either that or He's not my Father. I mean, you got to be to the point, you know, you got to be bold. It says to come boldly before the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy. There's not a disrespecting. My children have full right that they can intrude on me at any time. If they need something, they come to Daddy or Mommy for that matter. That's their right. Y'all come over to my house, you better knock. Just saying. We got firearms. You better knock. But my kids, because of my intimate relationship with them, wherever you're at, whatever you need, you come see me on this. Why? They've trusted me as their Father. And same thing with whatever peril we're going through. We need to develop that trust in our Heavenly Father through that secret place or the intimacy that we have with Him. And it says in verse 3, it says, "For then He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Then He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you shall trust and find refuge. And His truth and His faithfulness are a shield and a buckler." He's saying, because you found the secret place, then you will have protection. Then you will have, you know, that surrounding protection in your life. Going on through the 91st Psalm, you know, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 in your right hand, but it will not come near you. He talks about He will give His angels charge over you, like Pastor says, lest you dash your foot against a stone. In verse 14, we pick it up, and this is what the Lord says, and obviously this is Old Testament. "Because He has sent His love upon me, therefore I will deliver Him. I will set Him on high because He knows and understands my name, has a personal knowledge of my mercy, love, and kindness. He trusts and relies on me, knowing I will never forsake him, no, never. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Why? Because He trusts me, the Lord says. "Then I will become the father figure that they will let me be." This is Old Testament. This is before God actually moved on the inside of the Christian and made his abode. You're never separated from Abba, Daddy, Father. Wherever you are, he's there with an infinite amount of love. Why do you say that? Because he is an infinite God and God is love. You're never separated. Love is the greatest. We can read, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, and get those attributes. He's the creator of love because he is love. There's no higher depth. You can't sink to the depths of his love for you. That's why we're considered evil, because we're very surface compared to his love. But because he says, you've set your love upon me, and you've known through personal experience my mercy, my love, and my kindness, then I can show myself strong on your behalf because you perceive me right. You don't perceive me as the one that withholds, the one that holds back, the one that brings destruction on you, the builder in the wrecking ball, you know, all that other nonsense that Christian music and stuff can do to, you know, invade on the intimacy with my Heavenly Father. And it's like, they say some stuff. My Father wouldn't do that to me. My Father's never going to make me sick to teach me something. Would I do that to my kids? No, absolutely not. And I'm evil in my love compared to him. And it's like, people say that, it's like, well, yeah, you're unlearned, but you're missing that fellowship with the Father that wouldn't even be questionable or fathomable to understand those things. And like I said, I know all of us didn't maybe have a father growing up and different things like that. So renew your mind to the point of your loving Heavenly Father. Understand that first and foremost, that he is a God of love and his greatest desire is to spend time with you above any think that provision's already settled through Jesus Christ. He didn't wait for your merits to earn Jesus Christ because he died 2,000 years ago. And it says that the provision was made from before the foundation. Your merits didn't qualify for this provision. His love for you qualified you for this position. You've been made worthy as a son or a daughter of God. That's all you need to know. Amen. Did you get anything here today? Praise the Lord. The word is good. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just bless you. We thank you. We glorify you. We thank you, Father, that you're our heavenly Father. That, Father, even from before the foundations of the earth, you were thinking of Jesus on our behalf, that you would send him, that, Father, we could have the authority and the jurisdiction on this earth. But, Father, that we could be co-heirs with Jesus, who was the firstborn among many brethren, that we could be in fellowship as a family, recognizing you as our Heavenly Father. And Father, we rest and we have peace and we take comfort in knowing those things. That Father, no matter what this world and the circumstance that we may currently be in, we know that first and foremost, our intimacy with you trumps every circumstance, every dealing. And that, Father, every single provision that we need has already been established through Jesus Christ. And, Father, we love you. We praise you. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, I know it's maybe a little bit smaller group here, and I have a good idea of a lot of who we are, but I never want to minister without giving someone an opportunity to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior if they haven't. And if you've been here for any length of time, I know that you've been given opportunities, but if there's anyone here that you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, with all heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to point anybody out, make you stand up and say anything. But if you know that you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm just going to ask you to lift your hand. As soon as I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then we'll give you an opportunity to pray right there in your seat to accept Jesus as your Lord. It says over there in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And if you haven't done that here today and you want to, can I just see an uplifted hand of anyone that you've maybe not accepted Jesus as your Lord? And I don't know if there's those that are listening or those that are out in the parking lot that maybe you have or need an opportunity to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's simply to come before him, say, Father, I come to you a sinner. I thank you that Jesus died and rose again so that I can be saved. I accept you now as my Lord and Savior, and I'll live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, that's it. That's as simple as it is. So, Father, we just give you the praise and the glory. We thank you for today. And, Father, we thank you for your word, and we leave changed. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Why don't we go ahead and stand to our feet? I think Justin's out dismissing the cars out there. Let's just worship the Lord here for a moment, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, we just bless you and thank you. We thank you for your word. Father, we love you. We give you the praise. Father, we leave being a doer of the word. Father, this 2021, we're pressing more into you to know you as our heavenly loving Father. We give you the praise for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. And everybody said amen. Glory to God, and have a happy new year. This is going to be a new year, and it's going to be blessed, and we want all that the Lord has for us. Amen. Glory to God. You are dismissed.